Good evening. So take your Bibles out, please, and open up to the book of 2 Peter. We'll be in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. In professional athletics, they take a lot of measurements of people's speed and strength and other things like that. And one of the measurements they take sometimes is body fat percentage. And they were having had a quiz in the newspaper when I was a young boy, and they said, who do you think among professional athletes has one of the lowest measured body fat percentages that they've ever found? Well, people guess things like Manute Bol, who was over 7 feet tall, and several tall basketball players, and they said, no. At 3% body fat, it was Dallas Cowboys running back named Herschel Walker, for those of you who remember him. And it was interesting, as they were doing interviews with people and said, yeah, for any of us that have ever tried to tackle him, we understand that. Hitting him was like hitting a solid wall of muscle. And sometimes you see guys like this that were players, those of you who grew up with Earl Campbell and other people, and you watch, and they would get hit and they would keep going. And they would literally carry people along with them. They were hard to stop. But eventually, they would be brought down. How? By a lot of people. As one would slow them down and the others, and eventually they would get carried down by a large group of people. And when we're young, we have stability and we're able to stand and have a firm foundation to our bodies. But as we get older, sometimes you'll go to the hospital and you'll see someone who's had surgery or someone who's older, and they have a bracelet on and it says falling risk. And they're at risk of being knocked over or falling, and we try to warn our children. You know, be careful when you're out in the foyer. You don't want to knock one of our older brothers or sisters down, especially when they're unstable. If you've ever had knee surgery, you know that you don't take for granted that stability that you miss, that ability to have a firm foundation. We're going to look in a verse tonight where Peter warns the church about losing their stability. Not their balance, not their ability to score a touchdown, but their spiritual stability. And this fits in with what we've been studying on Wednesday night about the armor of God and the purpose of that armor, to stand and to withstand. To stand firm against the devil and against his things, to be able to keep your balance and keep your stability, your steadfastness. Last Sunday night we looked at verse 16 about things that are hard to understand. Peter says, you know, there are some things that Paul wrote about that are hard to understand. You know, anybody who says, oh, everything in the Bible is easy to understand, everything is so clear and so easy, doesn't require additional study, Peter would disagree with you. There are just some things hard to understand. Unfortunately, we talked about how the ignorant and the unstable gravitate toward those things. And they twist them to their own destruction, Peter says, as they do the other scriptures. Why would you twist commands? Why would you take a command and twist it or pervert it or change it? Well, when you would rather fit scripture to your life than your life to scripture. And so if there's a scripture that contradicts what you're doing, then you have to do something. You either have to change your life or change the scripture. What's the easier thing to do? Well, change the scripture. But the Bible says they do it to their own destruction. Because the word of God can't be twisted. We can only break ourselves on his word. So now, when we go down to verse 17, I wanted you to give the context, because in verse 17 he says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand. I wanted to make sure we were all on the same page about the this. What is the this? Knowing that the unstable and ignorant will twist these difficult teachings to their own destruction. Knowing this. Knowing there are people out there who will not pursue the truth, but they'll take the truth and they'll twist it. They'll change it to their own destruction because of ignorance, because of instability. Knowing this beforehand, he's going to tell them three things. Take care. Be alert. Knowing this, be alert. Knowing this, be alert that you're not carried away. And knowing this, be alert that you're not carried away and lose your own stability. Unstable people twisting the scripture, he says, be alert that you're not carried away and lose your own stability. We're going to look at those three things this evening. Knowing this beforehand, what do we say? Forewarned is forearmed. If I say, hey, Jeff, someone's going to come to your house tonight, and they're going to break in. I heard them talking about it after church tonight, and they're going to break into your garage. What would you do? Lock the garage, not be there, call the police, do something. A little boy came down our street this afternoon, and he said, Mr. Hahn, he said, someone broke into our house the other day, and they stole this, and they may be in this area, so what do? You make sure things are put away. When you know something is dangerous, you respond to it. And so Peter says, since you know this, knowing this beforehand, take care. Take care in the beginning of verse 17. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care. Some translations say be on your guard. Some translations say beware. But it's an alertness. If you know that this is going on in the world, if you know there are difficult things in the Bible, and if you know that there are people who will twist them out of ignorance and instability, be alert. Don't be caught unaware. You know, this morning in the college class, I was using two rat traps to give an illustration. And I reset one of them after I tripped it. I reset it and I forgot. And several times I kind of flicked my hand out in that direction. And Kaysen and the other guys in class were kind of said, you know, you've almost snapped your finger twice now. You get used to things. You let your guard down. After a while, things that used to bother you don't bother you so much anymore. Things you watch don't bother you anymore. Things you pull up on the computer don't bother you anymore. Things you say about people don't bother you so much anymore. And it's not that what was bad has become good. It's what was bad no longer bothers you. The Bible says there are some, their consciences were seared as with a branding iron. That cauterization of a conscience. I don't feel anything anymore. I can live the same way and commit the same sins, but I don't feel anymore. Feel anything anymore. And so the Bible constantly is saying, be alert, be alert, be alert. Be on your guard. Be watchful. Be sober. Be alert. Don't be caught off guard. Don't be taken by unprincipled men. Be alert, be alert, be alert. Always, over and over again. Why? Why, Peter? What do we need to watch out for? What do we need to be alert to? Peter, through the Holy Spirit, says you need to be alert. Why? That you're not carried away. Some translations say led away, that you're not led away, that you're not carried away. It's a word that means a wandering or a straying about. I always think about a dog that's wandering around and straying around. He's not at home. I see those lost posters all over the telephone poles, and there's a dog, and that dog is doing this thing. He's out there and he's wandering, he's straying, he's not where he's supposed to be in the truth. He's just out. The Christian I'm talking about, the wandering Christian. The Bible talks about the unstable person, the person who doesn't have that stability. They're wandering, they're straying. And it says, make sure that you're not carried away with what? With the error of lawless people. So Peter's warning that there is an error of lawless people that can carry people away. It can take them out from their stability and take them into a desert place, a straying place, a remote place. And when we think of the word error, if you take a test and I said, I'm sorry, on question number 3, you made an error. What does that mean? Did you get it right or wrong? It's wrong. You made an error. It wasn't correct. It was in error. Your statement was in error. It means it was false or wrong, that there is right and wrong. And when you look for that same word, and Paul used it, and Peter used it, and James used it, and John used it, they all used the same word, error, or deceit, or wandering. All has the same idea of being out and away from the truth. I want to show you a couple of those. Because you need to know, if the Bible says be alert, that you're not carried away with this error of unprincipled men, you ought to be able to recognize it. If I said, look, be careful that you're not carried away by guys in red pickup trucks. Because people in red pickup trucks are kidnapping people all the time, and I heard it on the news. You need to be careful of red pickup trucks. You said, well, what's red and what's a pickup truck? Because I don't want to be picked up by one. You'd want to know, what is this thing that can carry me away? Tell me about this thing. What is the error of unprincipled men. How does the Bible use it? Go back in your New Testaments to the book of Romans. Paul wrote to the church in Rome. Romans chapter 1 and verse 27. Read this verse with me. Romans 1:27 says, "And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for what? For their error." Or whatever word your translation has, it's the same word that Peter uses. Their error. Not their alternative lifestyle, their error. That's what your Bible says. A penalty for their error, for their wandering, for their being away from the truth. They received a penalty for their error. What was their error? That they had abandoned the natural. Where was the truth? Men with women. They had wandered and strayed, and now what? Men with men. And they receive the penalty of their error. And what does Peter say? Be alert, be on your guard, that you aren't carried away by error. Well, it's a good thing that's not happening. It's a good thing nobody's being carried away by that teaching of error. It's a good thing our young people aren't falling for that error. Right? We're not about to lose an entire generation who's being told that that's the truth when the Bible clearly says that's error. And Peter warns and says it's error. And you can post 1,000 Facebook messages that say it's not, and the Bible will remain. We read this morning, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. It's error. And Peter says, be alert. Be alert that you're not carried away by it. How else does the Bible use it? The Bible's not a one-issue book. God's will is not a one-issue will. So look in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. In Ephesians chapter 4, the kids talked about the unity in the body, that we ought to have unity in the truth of God. And it says that we ought to grow up in verse 13. To the unity of the faith, we attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every way. Do you see this same image in the book of Ephesians? This wandering, this drifting, that we might not be carried around about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in, and then here's the word. It's the descriptive word for the kind of schemes that people fall for. My translation says deceitful schemes. I don't know what yours says, but it's the same word used for error. They're not correct. These teachings, these schemes that draw people away, they're not truthful, they're deceitful. And he says we need to grow up, we need to mature, we need to grow up into manhood in Christ so that we're not like little kids who are getting jerked around left and right and being carried away by error. Well, how do you keep from being carried away by error? How do you find your stability? Look what the Bible says. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. There's our stability. I mean, like a little kid who says, ooh, shiny. Oh, look, a new doc. Oh, look, a new teaching. Look, a new teaching. And I haven't heard that before. And where is that? The Bible says we constantly go back to Jesus Christ. No matter how many voices, no matter how many preachers, no matter how much we hear, we constantly go back to Christ for our stability. It says, don't be carried away by deceitful schemes. Don't be carried away by that error. James uses this word as well. Let's look in James chapter 5 and verse 19. James chapter 5 and verse 19, James ends his letter by saying, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering. And there's another translation of that word. The wandering, the straying. That whoever goes and brings a sinner back from his straying will save his soul from death. Now, what does that tell you about straying? It's deadly. The sinner goes out and starts to stray. He goes out to wander. He gets out in no man's land. He's out there wandering around. He's left the truth. He's left Christ. He's away from what he knows is right, or maybe what he doesn't know is right, but he's out there. And the Bible describes this out there as error. It describes it as deceitful schemes. It describes it as being away. And the Bible says whoever goes out and gets that person and brings them back saves his soul from death. Now, what other wisdom is there than if we know that error is death for our souls, that that's the last place we want to be spiritually? We want to live spiritually. We don't want to be in error. We don't want to be out. And the Bible says that we're bringing people in. We're not following people into error. Why would the church do that? Why would we follow people into a soul-killing situation when we need to be bringing them into a soul-saving situation? The Bible says whoever brings a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Go back to 2 Peter, if you will. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18. A chapter on false prophets and false teachers. Not everything that people teach is true. Not everything that people say is from God is from God. Is that correct? The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18, for speaking loud boast of folly. Do you remember when we said the other night, loud is not bold? Here we have, speaking loud boast of folly. They entice. How do they entice? By sensual passions of the flesh. They appeal to people's sexual needs. They appeal to people's desires, to the lust of the flesh. The Bible says, by sensual passions of the flesh, those who are barely escaping from those who do what? Who live in error. Same word. They barely escape. Because those who live in error use those passions and they use those lusts to appeal. And it says they promise them freedom. Come on out here with the rest of us. This is a great place to be. This is a wonderful place to live. Come out here and join us in error. It's wonderful. It's freedom. You never see that, do you? The Bible says they promise freedom. But they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he's enslaved. In 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. In contrast to what the world teaches about the Antichrist, John talks about the spirit of Antichrist. Those who denied that Jesus was the Christ. It wasn't one man with red eyes who was going to take over the world. It was a spirit among those who were in the church. The spirit of the Antichrist was in the body of Christ. There were those in the church who said, Jesus is not the Christ. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Isn't that sad? Don't believe everything you hear. But test the spirits to see whether they're from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. Don't believe everything you hear. Put it to the test. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming, and now is in the world already. Little children, you're from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who's in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this, we know the spirit of truth. And what's the opposite of the spirit of truth? What does your Bible say? The spirit of error. There's that word again. For the people who said, Jesus did not come in the flesh, were they right or wrong? Were they speaking truth or were they speaking error? They're speaking error. And John says, don't believe it. It's not true. If they believed it and that Jesus didn't come in the flesh, he was not the Son of God incarnate, then everything else falls apart. There was a teaching of error, the spirit of error, in the book of Jude. In the book of Jude chapter 1 and verse 11, he talks about those who blaspheme all that they don't understand. And he says in verse 11 of Jude 1, "Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain." That's not a compliment, is it? "And abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error." There's that word again. "And perished in Korah's rebellion." They're hidden reefs at your love feast. "As they feast along with you without fear. Shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds, swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted." Does any of that sound like anything you want in your life? Any of those scriptures that use that word, does it sound like the kind of life that's pleasing to God? Does it sound like the kind of thing that makes God say, "Yes, I'm so happy for you to be living in error, to be deceived, to be wandering around, to be carried away by deceitful schemes"? These are all things that God doesn't want for us. And Peter says, you better take care that you're not carried away by error. But wait a minute, it's not my error. It says, by the error of lawless people. Some translations say by wicked men or unprincipled men. The descriptive word there in Thayer's says, one who breaks through the restraint of law and gratifies his own lusts. Okay, so you have the description of the kind of person here. Here's a law. Here's a barrier that God has put in place. And this man wants what is on the other side of that wall. God's law says you can't go there. And he says, but I want to. This is the description of an unprincipled man, of the wicked man. He goes beyond, he breaks that law. He goes beyond the law of Christ. He goes beyond the law of God because his lust drive him to go to the other side. He wants what he wants. It's this rejection of authority. That's why they translate it lawless men. Judges 17:6 says there was no king in Israel and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Lawlessness. There's no king. I do whatever I want. There's no king in my life. There's no Christ as Lord in my life. I'm going to do whatever I want and don't you dare tell me that I can't. Lawless men. Those who reject boundaries, those who reject authority. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7, notice this reference to the wicked or the lawless. It says that God rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked or lawless. Think about the people who were in Sodom. The Bible says God rescued Lot, who was greatly distressed by the sensual conduct. And we talked about before, that word sensual doesn't mean to us today what it meant to them back then. Sounds like a sweet, sexy word now, you know, silky word, sensual. That's not what that word meant. It's perverted. It's filthy. It's foul. The kind of thing you don't talk about in public. And Lot was bothered by what he saw. And the Bible describes those people that vexed Lot's soul as lawless or unprincipled. The Bible says, be careful. Peter says, be careful that you're not carried away by people like that. They're lawless. They'll take you anywhere. They'll take you outside of God's law. And they'll carry you away with their error. They'll take you away. And it says, be careful because there's a consequence. It says, take care that you're not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose what? This is important. What do you stand to lose if you do not take heed to Peter's warning? If you allow unprincipled men to carry you away into their error, what are you putting on the chopping block? My Bible says your own stability. They don't have any stability. But if you follow them into that error, you lose your own stability. You say, now wait a minute. It's their error. Why would I lose my stability to their error? Have any of you ever been in a large crowd and gotten carried along by the crowd? That can be really frightening. When you're in the middle of a bunch of people, soccer matches and things like that, a lot of times people get crushed down against the fences. And I saw an interview with the woman who was right next to the man who was being crushed to death, and she said, "I felt like I was killing him. And there was nothing I could do about it." She got carried along. She got carried along, and she ended up losing her own ability to have stability. She couldn't stand against the crowd. She got carried along. Their error can cost you your stability. We have a young friend that works over in the bank, and she lost her apartment to a fire recently. It wasn't her fire. It was the fire of someone in her apartment complex. But she lost her home. Sometimes the actions of other people can cost us something of our own. We can get caught up in things. We can get carried away by things. We can get influenced by things, and we can lose our stability. And what a tragic loss, because in that same chapter, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14, it says, "Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found with him, by him without spot or blemish and at peace." So in this secure position, this stability, the Christian is waiting. The Christian is being diligent to be found by him. The Christian has peace. I was watching saw your granddaughter, and I thought, she's at peace. Because she knows you love her, doesn't she? She's not worried. She's at peace. And the Bible says that when we're in Christ, we have this kind of peace. We're in Christ. Now, if we all bum-rushed her and ran over there and grabbed her and dragged her, can you imagine the panic and the feeling of, and the Bible says, be careful, because there are people who will do that. They'll take you from your stability, and they'll carry you away into error, and you will lose your stability just as they have lost theirs. So tonight I want to encourage you, instead of being carried away by the error of others, look what the Bible offers as an alternative in verse 18. Instead of being carried away by the error of others that cost you your stability, the Bible says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which gives us our stability. You can follow people and lose your foundation, or you can follow Christ and let him be your foundation. Forewarned is forearmed. Understanding the danger and the responsibility we have to save people from their error and to teach them the truth. Not so as to punish them or ridicule them or criticize them, but to bring them to that kind of peace, which, whether people admit it or not, is what we all crave. Peace with God and peace with man. The Bible tells us sin separates us from God. Separates us, creates a chasm between us. But the Bible says at the cross we can reconcile to God. We can find that stability again. We can come back. We can believe in him. He gives us a firm foundation to believe in. I want to believe in something. Well, here it is. Believe in God. Believe also in me, Jesus says in John 14. There's some stability. Well, Lord, you know, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Well, if I'm going to turn away from this life, if I'm going to let go of my sinful life, what do I have to grab onto? And Jesus says, you grab onto me. I am the foundation. There's no other name by which man must be saved. Stability. Well, what about baptism? If I'm going to be baptized, if I'm going to be buried in baptism, and if I'm going to put that old man to death, is there anything to come up to? Is there any kind of... Yes, there's a new life. And God gives us the stability, the foundation of forgiving our sins, of giving us the church so that we have a family, of giving us the Holy Spirit so that we have the seal of that redemption, that we have this ability to stand firm in him. And then he says, you take up that armor and you stand firm. Don't let people carry you into error. Because I don't want to see you die spiritually. Do you need to come back to Christ? Do you need to come back to the truth of God's word? There's peace there. There's stability there. There's life there. If you need to respond, we ask you to come while we stand and sing.